From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready. I'm in the Clark Ford studio. We'll talk a little bit today. Thank you for giving us a little hiatus yesterday. I had to get a few things taken care of. Neil as well. So back with you this morning as we get started. Still not much going on with Ole Miss this week. After all the stuff last week and lawsuits and everything else, pretty quiet over over the weekend. Got a story up on rebelgrove.com with Houston Roth, the Ole Miss rising sophomore pitcher, struck out 20 in a perfect game Collegiate Baseball League start over the weekend. Faced two over the minimum, so I talked to Houston yesterday about that. Story up on the site is a new cut fastball that's helping him achieve some of these results. He's had a lot of luck with it so far. Something else in his arsenal for next season when he's back at Ole Miss as a sophomore. So that and much more on the podcast. I've been telling you about some different football camps and different things going on with Craddock Oil and the Oxford Exxon. Got another one today to tell you about. The Jimmy John's 2017 football camp, Saturday, July 22nd, 2017. It's $25 an athlete. Registration from 8 to 9 a.m. at Macomb High School. A.J. Jefferson, former state player, is the special guest. So, I mean, everybody working together here. You got Chad Kelly giveaways, some stuff from Chad Kelly as well with this, and then Ben Craddock and Jimmy Johns opening up or starting the inaugural Brotherhood Scholarship, an introduction there. So a lot of awards being given out, offensive MVP, 7-on-7 champion, overall camp champion, fastest man, and more. So you can find out more here on the podcast. We'll bring some more to you about it as well. But again, $25, Saturday, July 22nd, and then coming up real soon, that You Got to Believe football camp with all the former players. A lot of good people involved with that. That's July 6th and 7th at Jackson Academy. So check those things out if you are interested. And Neil will tell you a little bit more about Clark Ford.
We are coming to you from the Clark Ford studio, Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call that number, ask for Corey Clark, tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's truly that simple. It's right to the bottom line, no haggling. It's just an easy car buying experience. You get the quote, and you can shop it around if you'd like, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many listeners of this podcast all over the South, from Missouri to the coast, from Texas to Georgia, and let's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Again, it's 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, tell Corey you heard about it on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden podcast, either one. And it's $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory.
Could be some good news coming again for Ole Miss on the recruiting front. So stay locked into Rebel Grove for that. Kind of disconnected over the weekend, Neil. But it really, as I said a second ago, pretty good weekend for that to happen. I mean, other than a couple baseball things, Mike Myers recalled to St. Louis. Braxton Lee was part of that that trade yesterday between the Rays and the Marlins. So the Ole Miss outfielder from that 2014 College World Series team, he's now a Miami Marlin. He's been having a pretty good season, hitting over 300 in the minor leagues. But it's really the first weekend that's been just kind of completely calm for us since the end of the academic year.
Yeah, these are typically the two quiet weeks. Usually we have a little bit more quiet than we've had this summer with all the lawsuits and the NCAA stuff. But I mean, with the exception of some recruiting stuff that might pop, but now we're in a dead period in recruiting. So the only stuff that's going to come out in recruiting is residual stuff that basically, let's be real, has already happened. And it's just now been
a matter of when you want it to be publicly announced is all we're talking about at this point.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no visits going on right now, no unofficial or official visits. The media days is still a couple of weeks away. And then, the response to the response, I know people hate, but I don't have anything about her yet. That's not due until the end of the month, really, 20th to 25th, somewhere in there. So these are quiet times.
I did get a kick out of that yesterday on Twitter. My buddy tweeted at us and said, just call it the reply, the rebuttal, anything else, because it does get a tad confusing from now and again. So we'll.
Yeah, it does get confusing, but sometimes the confusion is endearing.
You like the confusion?
Well, I mean, the whole process is such a sham anyway. I think that having a lot of accompanying confusion is fitting.
Okay.
Clarity, why should we provide clarity in a case that has none?
Yeah, there's not much. Congratulations to the Ole Miss LOU Club, to OUB, one of our proud sponsors. Really successful golf tournament again over the weekend. They did a great job with that. I think that the endowment now is over $100,000 now. I know they raised $37,000 last year, had another really good event. I played over the weekend. Everything ran incredibly smoothly. So congrats to them, too. We're just kind of covering a few things from the weekend. But so get started this morning. Ole Miss has been quiet, but I got two different things. One, and this was going to affect Ole Miss, or I'm sorry, people ask if it was going to affect Ole Miss. It is not. This California travel ban. California ruling that state money is not allowed to be used for travel for government purposes or whatever it is to multiple states, a lot of states. Basically, any state that's been at all entrenched in any of the legislation regarding bathroom bills or freedom. What was it called here? I'm blanking out for a second.
I can't remember. I saw it. I just assumed it was like bathroom bills or some of the immigration laws.
Basically anything that could be taken as discriminatory toward certain groups was the way that it was taken. I mean, it was like the Mississippi thing about, you know, whatever. So, Ole Miss was not involved in this with the Cal game and the return trip to Oxford because it was scheduled prior to the announcement of this legislation. But Tennessee's been added. A lot of things have been added. And what's funny about this to me is Clay Travis was kind of on this the other day talking about it in length. Tennessee has already now gone out of its way to kind of reprimand the state of California. They released some legislation yesterday that I'll read here about. Let's see, Representatives Goins, Dunn, Rudd, and Reagan, and then a lot of senators too. So basically, pretty much a lot of the state Congress. And it's kind of funny. It says, so okay, a resolution relative to state travel bans. Whereas California has passed legislation banning state-sponsored travel to Tennessee and certain other states, and whereas the ban stems from legislation enacted by Tennessee that allows counselors to refer patients to other counselors who can better meet their goals, which is the California state legislator has judged to be morally reprehensible, and whereas California's attempt to influence public policy in our state is akin to Tennessee expressing its disapproval of California's exorbitant taxes, spiraling budget deficits, runaway social welfare programs, and rampant illegal immigration. And whereas Tennessee is pleasantly surprised that California will not be sending its economic development teams to Tennessee to recruit our businesses, but we can still send our teams to recruit their businesses. And whereas Tennessee is puzzled while California thinks it's a good idea to prohibit its state colleges and universities from participating in athletic competition in Tennessee, March Madness comes to Memphis this year via the South Regional, Kansas, Memphis, North Carolina. And whereas this type of ban, the result of legitimate disagreements about government policy, is neither persuasive nor productive for either party and will lead to economic warfare among states as one sovereign entity attempts to tell an equally sovereign entity how to conduct its affairs by restricting travel thereto. And whereas the United States Constitution provides for a strong federal government for the common defense by the 10th Amendment grants to several states sovereignty in addressing issues solely within their jurisdiction, and all states should respect this most basic precept of American government. On and on and on and on. I kind of chuckled at that part of it, at least. But here's what's funny about this. We're talking athletic travel. We're talking, or at least on its face, athletic travel. However, the Attorney General for California or someone in his department tells Clay Travis yesterday that no opinion has been given yet on how they are interpreting for athletic travel. The inquiry there reads, we cannot provide legal advice on any specific situation or potential future scenarios, but we can confirm that our office received a request for a legal opinion regarding does the ban on state-funded travel set forth in government code section whatever apply to University of California and California State University athletic teams and staffs. The matter is pending and no opinion has yet been issued. Number one, if this is actually sent out, does this mean California can't recruit in any state that has these restrictions?
I guess it would mean that they wouldn't be able to travel to those states to recruit.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, they could recruit those players if they came out to California.
Hey, UCLA or whomever, you're the new head coach, but you can't do any home visits in these 11 states because you're interpreting a law that's not exactly how it's actually written or interpreted in those states.
Ridiculous. It's
so stupid.
It's really stupid. And every coach and administrator, well, not administrator, but every coach would tell you how stupid it was. It will be ignored by the schools, in my opinion.
They'll just do what they want anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the coach at USC, I mean, are you really not going to recruit the South? I mean, are you not going to make those trips? It's ridiculous. Of course you're going to find a New Orleans or Atlanta or Nashville or Memphis or all the places that you normally fly into to do spring evaluations and stuff, you know, kicking the tires. You're going to still do all of that. It's ridiculous.
I just, of all the things to spend taxpayer money on and worry about.
That's the deal. That is time that was spent in the California legislature.
And dude, we're not talking about just southern states here. I mean, here is the list. Alabama, Texas, South Dakota, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, Mississippi, and Kansas.
Yeah, you're telling USC and UCLA they can't recruit the state of Texas?
Yeah, sorry, SC, you can't schedule a home and home with the Longhorns. Or SC, I guess it's a private school, but UCLA.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's like you said, it's just a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Because California is interpreting the laws in those states regarding LGBTQ people.
And then the funny part was the Tennessee legislature response was perfect. That's how you do that. That's how you make your point. A little humor.
Yeah, you're using facts, but you're also being incredibly sarcastic in some ways.
Right, you're not being nasty. It's a little humor. It's funny. I don't know, the whole, is Cal going to travel? Yes, they'll make the trip. Ole Miss will travel out there. And
yeah, like I said, it does not apply to any of that because of when the contract was signed.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's not going to impact future contracts. It's too hard to schedule to ask a Stanford or Cal or SC or UCLA or San Diego State. You're asking those schools to completely redo their scheduling. It's not going to happen.
Well, you know, if you remember, though, a few months ago there was the situation where maybe it was Kansas that had some games set up with some California schools and the contracts didn't get signed because of it.
Yeah. I just...
Here's one for you. The Final Four is in San Antonio in 18.
Yeah, so if UCLA makes it, they'll just stop at the Elite Eight. I guess this is the end of Texas perhaps joining the Pac-12.
Oh, have a tough time out there, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it'd be tough to schedule when
you'd have to come to Austin for any games, have to go out there and play neutral site stuff.
If UCLA and Texas were scheduled to play a Pac-12 game, with UCLA, I guess, now in the Pac-16, when it was time for UCLA to travel to Austin, would it be a forfeit?
Well, you just meet in Albuquerque instead.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
Be good for those states.
It would. Yeah. This is so dumb. I'm not going to spend much more time on it, but this is so stupid.
Yeah, no, it's silly.
Okay. Do they just put exemptions in for athletic purposes? Do they keep the law because they're stubborn and just remove athletic?
Oh, yeah. They'll throw some amendments in there. They can keep their moral high ground. And
because it's all about the moral high ground. Whatever you have to do to keep the moral high ground.
And they'll do that, and I guess throw in some. They'll spend countless hours writing language into a law. That a court will have to interpret, and then an appeals court will have to interpret. And then I guess it'll go to the California Supreme Court for them to interpret. It's good news for lawyers.
Attorneys in that state that deal with government entities is rolling today.
They just got some extra business.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
That Marlins trade with the the Tampa Bay Rays that involved the former Ole Miss outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
That was a noteworthy trade if you're a baseball fan, because Echeverria going to Tampa tells you that the Rays, instead of being sellers, are buyers. And if they're not selling three or four of the arms that a lot of people thought would be on the market at the end of next month, are not going to be on the market. So the pitching market at the trade deadline is going to be tighter than people thought.
I'm assuming you are pulling for the Florida Gators tonight so Alex Lang doesn't have to get back on the mound on Wednesday?
Yeah, I think he's thrown enough. I think he's proven his point. He beat Oregon State. He got a big win for LSU, and now it's time to shut him down for a little while. He looked good the other night.
He's all right now. He's okay.
That fastball has some has a little giddy up to it.
If you're the Tigers, Detroit, O'Sullivan hasn't said anything, but there's a chance he brings Fiedo back again in a game three. He has thrown a ton in the last few days. He threw 70-something pitches in the Super Regional on game one, and then came back and closed game three, and then has thrown twice in Omaha. And I was talking about with Colin Brister yesterday on Twitter. They haven't announced what you would do, and maybe you start Coar, but he's going to throw if there's a game three again. I mean, they have run Alex Fiedo out there constantly in this run to the College World Series.
Oh, no, you don't like it if you're the team that owns his rights. It's
pretty paranoid.
Well, it's insane. It's, I don't know, maybe there's a different way to do this. They're out there in Omaha too damn long as it is. That is a lot of high-stress pitches in a 13, 14-day period.
But, like you said, I mean, you can't extend it out and give more days off, though, in that dang tournament.
No, you can't. You just, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I guess there's not one. And if the people who, there's probably a lot of people right now getting mad at me about this. But if you're the Tigers, it's worrisome. And when it's over, you shut him down probably for the year.
I don't know if you saw this or not. I found this interesting yesterday. I threw a Twitter poll up. It said Ole Miss and State fans, throw them both in a hat. I said, vote. Who do you want to win the College World Series, Florida or LSU? I expected an overwhelming Florida lead in that, people not wanting LSU to win. 51% to 49% on my Twitter poll.
Who do you catch yourself cheering for?
LSU, because for some reason O'Sullivan bothers me, and I think in his own fan base, Paul Maneri gets a bad rap.
Yeah, I kind of caught myself cheering for LSU last night.
I'm not a huge fan of the Florida program for whatever reason. Don't have a great reason. Just don't necessarily find myself pulling for them. Also, and look, this isn't about the team, but I do kind of find myself pulling for programs and teams that have fans that are incredibly committed, if that makes sense. LSU, obviously incredibly committed in baseball. Florida, from a fan base standpoint, couldn't give two craps, has a couple hundred fans in Omaha. They don't sell out their home games. They don't have a top five attendance, even though the product is fantastic. I like rewarding fans who care. So,
well, LSU's fans care. They have about, I don't know, appeared to be about 60,000 of them in Omaha last night.
Yeah, I think there was the attendance was 25,000, and it really probably was 23,000 LSU is my guess.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was a huge LSU crowd at that game.
So, No, I find myself pulling for LSU. I say tough road because they got to win two in a row, but they did it against Oregon State, and now they get to go to Poche and Lang, whereas Florida, again, Fajito, we don't know about his availability. They're throwing Dyson today. It's kind of Johnny Holstaff for Florida in game two, and then they'll throw Carr in game three, which he was phenomenal for about 2.5 innings against TCU and then just fell apart. So if you're for LSU, you went to bed last night still feeling okay about things, I think. I don't think you're incredibly frustrated, even though you lost game one. Pulmonary really a big-time mistake last night. He threw a senior that had not started a game in 2 years. Dude gives him 3 innings of perfect baseball, and Paul tried to run him out to face the order a second time in the fourth. He walked 3 batters. They end up giving up 3 runs in the inning and then end up losing 4-3 in the game.
Oh, he got greedy.
He admitted that. That was actually the exact word he used. He said that he just got greedy. He tried to get one more.
Yeah, no, he...
You can't let that kid see that order a second time.
No. You shake that kid's hand. You pat him on the back, pat him on the butt, all of those things. Maybe you do all of those things.
Yeah.
And you personally go get him a cup of Gatorade.
We're going to hand it to our bullpen. Hell of a job.
You gave me more than I could have possibly asked. Great job. Here's a front row seat. Here's some Gatorade.
Yeah.
Thanks. Let's and then go. You go manage the rest of the game.
Yeah, let's go win two, and I'll get you a ring. Okay.
Yeah, because if they told Maneri before the game, you're going to get 3 perfect innings out of this guy.
Oh.
And that's it.
Yeah, you need 27 outs, and he's going to get you 9 of them.
He's going to get you the first 9 with you in the game. Now, yeah, he just made a mistake. I like their chances, though. I mean, you know more about the rest of Florida's pitching, but these two guys for LSU, they're tough.
See,
that lineup was starting to grind a little bit. If the kid doesn't get thrown out at second there in the eighth on the double.
I think he was safe.
Yeah, and I actually think his slide was beat it. But, if he gets to second there, they probably tie the game. And I don't know. It was a hell of a game. Give Florida credit. They won it. But you just kind of had the feeling late that LSU was chasing them down.
Yeah, no, I'll buy that. As we continue the podcast, part of it brought to you by MasterCuts. Proud to announce a new partnership with Spray South to provide customers a new service, which they've been requesting for some time, starting immediately. Skeeter Beaters is ready to eliminate those pesky mosquitoes that prevent you from enjoying your back porch every afternoon and the 28 diseases they carry. Skeeter Beaters vows to be the same great customer service that its parent companies are built upon. Product designed to last 3 to 5 weeks, depending on the weather. They offer single application pricing at $60, as well as seasonal packages. They're serving all of North Mississippi. So whether you're a business in Grenada with an event, a school in Olive Branch, or a game, or just a family in Tupelo, Oxford, Amory looking to enjoy dinner on the porch, give Skeeter Beaters a call today, 662-607-7773, or send them an email, info@mastercutslawn.com.
Proud to welcome a new advertiser to the show today. It's Journey Business Solutions. If you're a small business owner, you know Visa's rules recently changed, allowing owners to pass credit card processing costs onto their customer as a line item along with sales tax. Journey Business Solutions has a fully integrated solution to make that simple for business owners. You just swipe the card just like you do today, and you pay zero for credit card processing. Journey Business Solutions also has the latest and greatest technology with Apple Pay, EMV chip processing, next day funding, and more. Ben Brown and the team at Journey Business Solutions guarantees business owners lower processing rates than you pay today, often 30 to 40% lower. Journey Business Solutions has a tablet point of sale system that does inventory, marketing, loyalty rewards, employee scheduling, and time cards. It makes your life much easier. Normally it costs $1,200, but if you let Ben know you heard about that on this podcast, you get it at no cost and still save monthly versus what you were paying today. Maybe you're worried about being in a contract. Don't let that stop you. Journey Business Solutions can help you cover the cost of the early termination fee. Journey Business Solutions can do business nationwide and often works with who have been declined or who are in industries. Ben's team can get you accepting cards today. Send Ben an email at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. Process is very easy. He will get back with you the same day. to help you get started. It's registration for Oxford Park Youth Soccer for the fall 2017 season is currently going on through July the 7th. Cost is $55 per child. There's a multi-child discount available. Age range is 4 to 16, classified via year of birth. This year's season will begin in late August, runs through October. Schedules will be posted 2 weeks before the season starts. Games are played at FNC Park. To learn more, go to oxfordparkcommission.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the neighborhoods, properties and neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. And send him an email. And he'll take care of the rest. It's ha@harryalexander.com.
Did you see this coming out from the game last night as well as Jared Poche's dad, Jerry, who is a doctor, and the father of the LSU strength coach, Travis Roy, gave a man CPR and brought him back to life at the College World Series last night.
Well, there's your winner.
Did you not see this?
I didn't. No, I didn't.
Okay. Do what?
No, I was just, that's, when did that happen? Before the game? During the game?
I'll read the story from ESPN News Services. The fathers of an LSU starting pitcher and the LSU strength coach helped save the life of a fan estimated to be in his 80s after he fell unconscious and was unresponsive in the stands on Monday night. Dr. Jerry Poche, father of Jared Poche, and Jimmy Roy, a firefighter and father of LSU strength coach Travis Roy, combined to give the man CPR during Game 1 of the College World Series in Omaha. The man was said to be in stable condition after paramedics arrived and transported him to the hospital. The man died, Poche said, according to the Baton Rouge Advocate. He didn't have a pulse. He didn't have nothing. It looks like, luckily, we got him back. Poche, a family doctor for 25 years, provided chest compressions, while Roy, a firefighter of 30 years, delivered mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Roy said it was the first time he had been called into action to perform the genuine procedure. We've always had machines that do it for us, Roy said, according to the
Summer
Advocate.
Is full swing. And now it's your opportunity to enter for a chance for you.
Crazy story.
That is crazy. That's
I mean, it's fortunate. It's so many different things. Those two guys, not just in the stands, but around wherever it happened. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, because I would assume in that situation, every second counted. The fact that they were right there.
Yeah, I mean, two rows over and you never know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the whole, if you need perspective from a college baseball game, well, there it is.
Yeah. Crazy. I don't know.
No, that's cool. That's a neat story.
All right, so since the last time we talked, University of Missouri is still doing crazy things. Got two of them. You want to start with an arena crashing or dorm rooms? I'll let you pick.
The arena crashing. How the hell do you get a car into the arena like that?
Well, you commit. You give at least $100,000 worth of damage on the way in is what you do.
And that's going to be a felony, right?
Destroying public property? Is that the move?
I mean, it's $100,000 worth of damage. You had to know when you did it, it was illegal.
Okay, so Dave Matt, well, he was hammered, you know. Come on. Dave Matter, journalist in Columbia, does a great job. Suspect arrested for crashing car into Mizzou Arena is listed in Missouri database as an events assistant for SEC Network through the athletics department. So there's that. Campus police say Nathaniel Conant crashed his Volkswagen through a gate behind the Tiger basketball gym around 4 a.m. Sunday. Then he allegedly rammed it through a dock door and onto the court, hitting a couple golf carts along the way. He backed out, crashed through another fence, and left on Champions Drive. So not only do we go into the arena, we come out of the arena and then just proceed on our way. I don't know about you, but if nothing else, that just made for a hell of a Volkswagen commercial. That thing carried on down Champions Drive as it was leaving the arena. Who needs a Hummer or a tank, JoJo? We got a Volkswagen, but
I can safely say I've never been that drunk.
It's a really funny story in a way. There's all the people that make your whole, oh, that was the most aggressive drive in the arena jokes, all that stuff.
That's a charge you don't take.
So fortunate. Yes, exactly. So fortunate, though, nobody was killed, frankly. Him, someone else. I mean, that could have been tragic in so many ways, past a lot of damage and an underwriter that gets a call and goes, hang on, whoa, do what?
Do you ruin the court? I mean, because I assume he didn't have court-approved tires.
The right rubber was not probably used here, was it?
I mean, I'm guessing not.
Yeah. It's always Missouri.
Gabe DeArmond says hello. Missouri's University of Missouri's new slogan should just be "Hold our beer."
This is a league or a school with, I mean, all jokes aside, the whole prestigious journalism department, you know, had a lot of success in basketball before they joined the SEC. They win the East the first 2 years they're in it, basically because the East sucks, but Missouri was good in the national title conversation, at least into November for one of the years. Everything looking up for the Tigers, and then when that thing went south as a university, just plummeted. I mean, we're talking about all the safe space stuff, the guy that went on the hunger strike or whatever over the stuff, the teacher that did not necessarily practice the First Amendment and ended up getting whatever she got. All the way now, though, to it's led to massive cuts, severe drops in enrollment, as I'm getting to with the other story, and it is a school that has become absolutely a national punchline.
Yeah.
The fall is almost baffling when you just list out how it happened and how fast.
If you think about it, 40 months ago, just 40, no one was laughing at Missouri.
No.
40 months later, people are really laughing at Missouri.
Think so.
Just 40 months. The difference 40 months can make.
Yeah. 3.5 years almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. 40. If you take 40, multiply it times 3, that's how much a night you can get into a college dorm for at Missouri, Neil.
So they're renting out dorm rooms?
Reading from the Kansas City Star. Mizzou to rent out unoccupied dorm rooms amid falling enrollment and budget cuts. This came out last week. Now anyone can have that college dorm experience for just $120 a night. The University of Missouri will rent out empty rooms this fall for home football weekends and other events at the Columbia campus. The move was announced last Thursday at the University Board of Curators meeting. The rooms are, quote, walking distance from Memorial Stadium, promises the Residential Life webpage. A guest housing page created this week offers furnished two-bedroom suites with four single beds for $120 a night. Parking is extra. Free high-speed wireless access, economy bed linens. Economy bed linens. What exactly does that mean, and why is it a perk?
It means it's really cheap sheets, man.
Yeah, why would you put that?
Oh, no. I mean,
is that like in 2017 when you're listing the features of the car and it goes, air conditioning? You go, well, thanks.
I guess it's the assumption that if you're moving, if I'm moving into a dorm room.
Oh, that you don't have to bring your own sheets. They will provide said government housing sheets.
Yes.
Okay. Towels included. Well, I bet those are some nice towels, plush.
I bet they're economy towels.
I mean, economy is not typically a buzzword for luxury. The offer comes in the context of falling enrollment and budget cuts. Freshman enrollment has dropped 23%, and as of early May, it was down another 16% off last year. Earlier this month, UM System President Mun Cho announced $101 million in budget cuts at Mizzou's four campuses, resulting in the loss of 474 jobs. We've taken 7 residence halls offline temporarily due to the drop in enrollment. 7, Neil. 7 residence halls. Because of that, we've been looking for additional uses of those halls instead of letting them sit there. Even if they are offline, they cost to operate. The university will use 12 residence halls for student housing this fall. Of the 7 offline halls, Excellence and Discovery will be offered for weekend rental. The university plans for other uses for the remaining 5. They are not aware of any other school offering dorm rentals. Said it was far too early to gauge the level of interest. but here we go. Mizzou is nearing the end of a $300 million, 18-year residential life master plan approved in 2001. So we're talking about a school that has 19 residence halls, and seven of them are having to be dormant because of a lack of enrollment. When you put the numbers in context, this is amazing.
Well, and I mean, all jokes aside, it was a booming campus before some of the things that happened on that campus. People don't feel safe sending their kids to school there anymore.
It's that simple, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, as a dad who's 2 years away from sending a kid to school, I can tell you that the number one thing that's the very first thing. You don't. It's not about education right off the top. I mean, that's right there. Don't get me wrong, but if a school has everything going for it, but the campus isn't safe, you're not sending your kid to that school. And that's the perception, that there's riots and there's protest and it's just a lack of a secure environment. And yeah. I'm not
right, wrong, or indifferent. That's the perception.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's reality, although I will say that, and this is certainly evidence of this saying, perception is reality. If perception becomes widespread that it impacts you financially, then that perception is reality.
What if Campbell said, do you want to go to Missouri?
Well, like I said, I don't know enough about it. We'd have to really research it, but I would have concerns because of all the stuff that I've heard that's happened there. It's the whole thing about the riots at Berkeley and the people that say, I'm not going to that game because I think it's dangerous. Well, the odds are it's not dangerous for a football game, but I get why people say that. And so if you're a school like Cal and there's ends up being 8,000 empty seats at a game, the perception impacted you financially.
So what happens with Mizzou? Where does it stop? What's the breaking point? What does that look like in 5-10 years?
I don't know. This is the problem with kind of political correctness run amok. Is that it's hard to stop that slide when it starts.
Yeah, they're just known as that school now. Period.
You've got to go remake your reputation.
And that's not an overnight deal.
No, it's hard to do.
It's not $120 a night.
I mean, all jokes aside, I'll give them credit for having some creativity here.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, try to find any revenue stream you can find.
Yeah, even though you do, the comments from the chancellor or the president or whatever is true. I mean, even though you take the buildings, quote, offline, they're still sitting there. And you have to pay bills on them, and you have to maintain them, and that costs money, and people have to do that work. And I think the answer is to sell the buildings to the University of Alabama, because all the students that are not going to Missouri are apparently going there.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, again, all jokes aside, the last 10 to 12 years or whatever that Saban's been there at this point has been quite profitable for Alabama from an academic standpoint. Tons of applications.
Yeah, I just, Missouri has come across as with the protest and all that stuff and with the teachers, and it looks on television to be chaotic.
I think Gabe admits that to a point.
People don't want, you're going to pay the money that it costs to send your kid to college? You're going to pay for the accompanying chaos?
Probably really good for Kansas schools right now.
I would think so.
Yeah. Smaller
really
schools
good for
in Missouri.
Missouri State.
Yeah.
Those kind of schools.
SEMO and different things. I get that's a whole different area of the state, but still.
For sure.
So, you know, I mean, even some smaller colleges like Lindenwood and different things up in that area. So, anyway, as we move on, part of the podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. They're 30 years old this year. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact him 662-234-2704 or JLOWE, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. John knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, snapper and cobia are the most popular fishing trips to take. Snapper season in Mississippi waters this year runs through Labor Day. Another popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time is the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail, which is often called blackfish. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John at 228-348-7817. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South is owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. 7 South Tailgating, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove. They can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC-only package, full-service packages, rental packages, and more. They offer complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, and year-round storage. 7 South typically sells out for every game, so visit their site today, secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site is 7southtailgating.com. You can reach them by cell at 662-321-1682. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, but they do it with a live person and a personal touch. There's no 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait when you call OUB. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield and three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
I feel like I'm spending a lot of time today reading some news stories, but for anybody that's kind of been out of pocket, to give some background, sort of necessary here. This one hit, and I'm kind of curious where this goes. This brings in another NCAA story, Neil. The NCAA conducting an ongoing pending investigation, those were the words used, into Baylor University in the wake of a sexual assault scandal that led to the firing of Art Briles and the departure of the school president. The school lawyers confirmed this in a federal court filing recently. Baylor officials acknowledged the investigation while asking a judge to protect the school's communications with the NCAA from attorneys for several women who have sued the nation's largest Baptist university. Baylor contends the school must maintain the confidentiality of the NCAA's investigation process. Look, where have we heard that before? Though the school could not turn over some information to plaintiff's attorneys who make specific requests, providing all communications with the NCAA, including what documents it had requested and who had been interviewed, could compromise the investigation, Baylor lawyers argued. Baylor officials declined further comment Monday. New school president Linda Livingstone took her post on June 1st. ESPN reported in May the NCAA had conducted interviews with Baylor officials, former employees, and victims, or alleged victims, but that the school hadn't been given a formal notice of investigation. NCAA officials did not respond to the Associated Press when they were asked. So there's the nut graph of that, Neil.
You know, this is going to come across as calloused, and I don't mean for it to. I'm trying to be very literal here. If a male student who's not a student athlete had been accused of rape on campus, would the school have paid or attempted to pay hush money to the alleged victim to make the thing go away?
I mean, my immediate thought is no, but I mean,
the athlete's got extra benefits.
Yeah. Well, of course, same thing at Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the NCAA cannot conduct, if it wants to be taken remotely seriously, and when I say remotely seriously, I don't mean by fans. Forget that. That's over. I mean, if it wants to be taken seriously by the schools that it governs, and it wants to prevent these Power Five schools from eventually breaking away and coming to their senses and saying, why are we giving all this money away? They have to at least have the appearance of fairness, of not picking on particular schools. You can't do the North Carolina investigation, the Ole Miss investigation, and not investigate Baylor. You have to find a way. They don't really have subpoena power, although in this case they don't really need it because there's so much court record that all they have to do is file FOIs.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Baylor's arguing, is they're trying not to let the court record stuff be a two-way street where the attorneys get the NCAA documentation.
You know where I feel on this. It's not about football. I think that whole football program, the athletic program, hell, maybe the university needs to be put on timeout for a while.
Is it a token investigation?
Probably.
Is it a perception investigation?
Probably.
That's what it feels like.
I don't think the NCAA has the taste for it.
But whoa, they got the moral high ground.
Yeah, I know.
Couches, meals. Nah, let's hammer that.
If you're going to be serious about what happened at Baylor and get really honest about it, you have to admit that that's the culture of... It's what happens when you let big-time athletics go wild, when you make it more important than anything else on your campus.
Well, yeah, to
the point that law and order don't apply to people equally. When you get to that place, you're in a dangerous place.
Yeah, not even from a alleged rape or any specificity on specific charges, just charges in general. I mean, I feel like this would have been handled the same way no matter what the felonious offense was. Doesn't matter what it was. I think that would cover up anything.
Yeah, I keep hearing there's more.
Well, there's always more. You never get it all. You never find it all. You never hear it all. Come on.
And so the school knew about it. The school could have stopped. They could have stopped some of this from continuing. They could have minimized the damage. They could have supported the process. They could have supported the alleged victims. But they certainly could have supported a legal process. They didn't. I think it's safe to drop the word allegedly. They actively covered up crime so that athletes could stay on the field and so that a football program could go untarnished because it was winning and making money and making them feel good.
Forever, it was the whole NCAA doesn't get involved in legal matters and there's no extra benefit and all this stuff, and now it just feels token. Oh, we need to get a little PR help, so let's go look into it a little bit.
That's what it feels like.
Let's conduct some interviews.
I hope they prove me wrong.
Oh, well, no doubt about
but
that.
But if you're going to do investigations that go on for a decade, basically, at North Carolina about a class, and you're going to do an investigation that's 5 years at Ole Miss that, again, let's say Ole Miss is guilty of everything it's accused of, and it's not, but just for kicks, let's say it is. In 5 years, we're talking about $30,000?
Yeah. And now from an NCAA standpoint, the amount doesn't matter, frankly.
Yeah, I understand that, but from a perception standpoint, if you're able to get away from the rivalries and crap, and you don't care if I tell you today, for example, that the University of Nebraska over 5 years gave out boosters and such $30,000 worth of benefits, you would say that's all?
Yeah.
That's your answer. That's it. I actually think when a lot of people stop, when the Ole Miss case is over, even when the North Carolina case is over, I think the Joe Public back in Iowa, when he reads the story, he's going to say, that's it? I thought there'd be something fancy there. I thought there'd be big cash drops and I thought it would be something that would be salacious and scandalous and kind of sexy. I thought it would be more like Louisville, in fact.
And it wasn't.
And that didn't happen.
I mean, I've just... Well, yeah, I mean, Louisville... I don't know. Just from looking at all of it, it has nothing to do with a team or a school or, again, any specific nature. It's just a frustrating deal overall. Just the monopoly, the probably coercion to certain levels. I mean, everything involved with that organization just feels grimy at this point. Everything about the NCAA, the bureaucratic nature of doing all this to make ourselves money and to give ourselves power, it's just got to the point where I don't know that it could rub me any more the wrong way.
Well, you know how I feel about it.
Yeah, no doubt.
I've been on record for a while. The schools should break away. The system's stupid. They're giving money away left and right. The kids deserve to be able to cash in on their popularity if they have some, on their marketability if they have some. There is an easier way, but you have to. The first thing you have to do that is you have to give up this amateurism thing. You have to let that go. You have to call major sports what they are, which is big business. The podcast is also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair, and you can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He is a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. He's from the Mississippi Delta, lives in the Jackson area, regularly visits his family in Lafayette County. No one understands the recreational and timberland tract across the state of Mississippi better than he does. Go to his site. It's gotland.com. You can read his testimonials, read about his track record, see the properties that he has listed. But know this, right now the land market's really hot. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. Give him a call, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. We'll have guests on the show throughout the week. They'll join us on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline, the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles there at the Rebel Locker Room as you get ready for football season. Speaking of, Ole Miss football tickets still available, OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. Last but not least, the podcast brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan, just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan deals. Great lease deals we've been telling you about. It's a super service after the sale. Gene and Sandy Grass, longtime friends of this podcast, of the website, as well. If you're in the market for a Nissan, that's the place to go. You won't regret it. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
See on Twitter a minute ago, Channing Ward giving Russell Westbrook props on his MVP speech.
It was a good speech. It was a really good speech. It was.
He pointed out him thanking his giving his wife credit for the accomplishment.
Yeah, he. He's been with, I guess he's been with his wife Nina since they met at UCLA. It was you could tell it was a heartfelt tribute to her, to his parents, to his brother. He, his teammates that were in attendance. He called those guys up. I think it was probably the side of Russell Westbrook that people who follow the Thunder the way I do, you see that in post game and stuff when you read. You see this, some of the media ops, and you read about the stuff that he does inside Oklahoma City. The whole Russell Westbrook as the villain thing was always severely overplayed, in much the same way that now people are overplaying the Kevin Durant as villain thing. What you do see is how different Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook are as people in terms of who surrounds them and that kind of thing. And you can see where maybe there was... Not, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but just a chemistry issue. Two people that are really different.
And had, you know, and had to coexist to such a level to make them competitive. So,
well, and it, for the longest time, everyone said, you know, Westbrook was Robin and Durant was Batman. I don't think that Westbrook has a personality that allows him to be Robin. He's Batman. His next big challenge now is probably not this season, but assuming he signs the extension in Oklahoma City, and he's been kind of coy about that, there might be a shock coming for people. But assuming he signs it, he's got to become a recruiter some too. He's got to recruit another star there because you can't win with one star. He's got to go recruit another one. He's in the past that he's not going to do that. He softened his stance on that. But he's going to have to soften it more. But I was glad he won the MVP. He had a storied season. He put up historic numbers. That franchise could have very easily just folded up when Kevin Durant left them for the Warriors. And Westbrook stopped it from happening. But now the challenge comes for him because he can't have that season again. You can't have the usage rate that he had and expect to win as an organization. It just won't happen. He knows that. But he's got to learn to take that next step as a teammate, and that's trust teammates, develop teammates. He's got to make younger players better because they're on the court with him. That's his next big challenge.
Yeah. Again, Brett Basham, one of the guests on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline this week, former Ole Miss catcher. He's gotten some coaching, done some different things since then. So we'll talk to him. He called a pretty good guy with a cutter back in the day, Scott Biddle. Again, as I told you at the start of the show, Houston Roth. He has developed a cut fastball, threw it about 20 times during his 111-pitch outing on Saturday night where he faced the minimum for 7 innings, ended up facing 2 over the minimum for the game, 2-0 win, striking out 20 in the Perfect Game Collegiate Baseball League. So Houston, freshman All-American, had the lowest ERA on the Rebels roster for 2016, and looks like he's getting a little bit better. That cut fastball, there's no pressure on the elbow or the arm to throw it. Gets a lot of weak contact. If you throw it real well, he can miss bats as well. So pretty good addition there if he's commanding it like it seems like he is. He appears to be maybe the most dominant pitcher in that league. It's not the Cape, but a lot of D1 players, it's not chop liver either, so it looks like Houston's having a pretty good summer.
Yeah, that was incredible. I saw those numbers the other night. 20 strikeouts on any level in a game is phenomenal. And, you know, kind of when you talk about finding sort of a new pitch, I'm not saying he's going to have a Jake Arrieta kind of a deal here, but that's what I always think of. Arrieta sort of found the new grip, you know, in addition to a coaching staff that let him do things the way he wanted to do it. You know the rest.
Yeah, he said he threw 3 changeups and 4 sliders out of 111 pitches, and everything else was a fastball or a cutter. So 104 fastballs, essentially.
You know,
if you can do it well enough, it works.
If you can locate and you can change speeds and you can command all of the strike zone, you don't have to throw off. You don't have to throw breaking balls.
I mean, I get it's a very it's not a fair comparison, but I don't know that Scott Biddle threw 5 curveballs in a game. Because that stupid thing was a curveball.
He didn't need to throw a curve.
Yeah. I mean, he might just throw some get-over pitch for the heck of it just to let somebody see it.
Yeah, you throw it once or twice.
Hey, I can flip this in there. Okay, great. Moving on.
Yeah, just to make a guy think about it. Let that be in his.
Yeah. Is he going to get cute and spin one in on me?
Yeah, just... I'm behind 0-2. Is this where he throws one? Just you're putting a seed in someone's mind. But you don't. If you have stuff and you can command the strike zone, you don't need it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's at rebelgrove.com. Again, good recruiting. Russell had Nuggets all weekend, up again this morning as well. And anything that happens with recruiting, he'll have you covered there at rebelgrove.com. So, again, thanks for being patient with us the last day or so. We'll be back with you the rest of the week, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.